I want to teach a simple verse, okay? 1 Corinthians 13:13. You'll see this slide here, faith, hope, and love. For anybody who knows this verse, you might have memorized this verse. I'm going to open up my scriptures and read it from there just to prove to you that I'm not making it up. I like reading from the scriptures in front of people when I'm preaching, because then you know that what I'm teaching you is coming from the Bible. While it's good to memorize scripture, and I do, it's really important to let people know when you're discipling them, when you're teaching them, that this is the source. If I make you think I'm the source of wisdom and knowledge, then that's not a good thing. This is, so kids, remember that the Bible is our source of where we learn truth. This is God's word. All right? In God's word, we read this one simple verse, and this is a verse that I would love for all of us to memorize together. I picked this verse for the kids because if the kids can get it, then we can get it. And if we can get this verse, we can change the world. Okay? Here it is. Ready? 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now, faith, hope, love. Abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Okay, let's do that verse one more time. Your translation may be a little bit different than mine, but the same three words are there, right? But now faith, hope, and love abide. That means remain, stay connected to these three. But the greatest of these is... Okay, what are the three words we're talking about today? Faith, hope, and love. Now, now that we talked about what we're going to be talking about, let me give you an image that's going to hold it all together. Now, adults, you can come with me or you can just listen. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament real quick. And kids, I'm going to give you a real simple image that's from the Word of God. I'm going to read it from Scripture, then I'm going to explain it to you. But I want the adults to see that this is an image from God's Word. And kids, this image is going to help us understand the importance of faith, hope, and love. All right, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. That's right there after Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and you've heard this verse before. If you've ever been to a wedding where they did a knot tying ceremony or where they weaved three cords together to represent the husband, the wife, and God. So it's very popular these days, for those of you who haven't been to a wedding in a while, that they do something other than just exchange their vows and exchange rings. There's some kind of sand art, or there's the cord ceremony, or there's the classic unity candle. There's something done that symbolizes that the two are becoming one, or that God is present in the relationship. And the beautiful image that a lot of couples use is the cords, the three cords. So let me read it to you. Two are better than one. This is Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Could you imagine having to do, some of you have to do this, work plus do all the dishes, plus do all the laundry, plus raise the kids, plus clean the house. Oh, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. I was just talking to a lady this morning who was telling me that, I was talking to both of them actually, it was a husband and a wife. They were telling me that when one is up and the other one's down, they can help each other. You know, when she's up and he's down, she can help him, and vice versa. We need friends. This is not just for marriage. This is for friendship as well. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Has anyone here, kids, have you ever fallen outside? Maybe you're sledding. Maybe you're building a snowman. Do you want to build a snowman? That was really bad. All right. Just let it go, Jerry. All right, so, oh, come on, that was good. Gotta have, yeah. All right, anyways, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're really out of it. Let It Go is a song from a movie you might have heard of called Frozen. Just came out with the second one, which I think was better than the first one. Just my opinion. Connoisseur of children's movies, I am. All right. Where was I? Oh, kids, if you've fallen before, sometimes you need a friend to help you get up, don't you? I think we all need friends to help us get up. If you've ever struggled with an adult issue, maybe like an addiction or something like depression or anxiety attacks, you need someone there to help you. If you've ever struggled with a real life issue, you ever been through a financial strain and you felt like it was all on your shoulders and you didn't have someone to help you out, that can be a very difficult, alienating time in your life when you feel alone. It's what the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to be family. When that's why we're supposed to help people when they're down and also celebrate when people are up. We don't always do it perfectly. Sometimes we don't even do it well. But with the Holy Spirit's helping us, we can do it better in 2020 than we've done it in the past. But that takes all of us. That takes all of us. Just like it takes friends in the playground. Kids, if you see one of your friends being bullied, what are you supposed to do? Just let them get bullied? No, you're supposed to help. And if more people would help, there'd be less bullying. All right? Go get a teacher. Go stand by your friend and say, we don't accept that here. You know? Sometimes we worry that if I get involved, I'm going to stand out and now I'll be bullied. But what if the whole class stood up to the bully? What if everybody talked to the teachers and the principals about it? What if it stopped happening in secret? It's just like issues in the church. What if we helped each other instead of pretending, I'm fine, I'm great, how are you? I'm also fine, I'm also great. And you continue to suffer in your silence. See, things fester in the silence. Things don't get worse when you don't get help. A friend will help you. Okay? So it says here in verse 11, furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? I got some hiking stories to illustrate that, but I'll move on. Verse 12, and if one can overpower him, who is alone? Two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Now, here's the image. So we like to go to the Indiana State Fair. Anybody here also like to go to the Indiana State Fair? Okay, the Ingalls family likes to go to the Indiana State Fair. Not only do we get more than enough steps in for our fitness that day, because we walk the whole thing, but we also like, when the Boy Scouts are set up, the Boy Scouts have this really cool area, and the Girl Scouts have a cool area too, and the FFA and the 4-H. There's lots of cool things to do at the State Fair other than the carnival stuff, okay? So check it out sometime. But one year we went there, and in the Boy Scouts area, they were teaching kids how to make rope. And what they did is they took three separate strands of thin rope, and they had this little machine, and I couldn't get my hands on one of these, where you put those twines, and then it weaves them together. So the three separate pieces of thinner twine or rope then make a thicker cord of rope. And I thought it was so fun, because when they gave this to our kids, they were able to walk away with some rope that they made. And it was good, strong rope. And what they had to do is they had to secure the rope on both ends so it didn't unravel. And so there was security, or things securing the three strands. And what I want to do now is I want to teach off that image about faith, hope, and love. Because faith, hope, and love is what holds our life together. Okay? So I want to read to you. So adults, join with me. Teenagers, you can open up your app, if you will. Just... if you're going to tweet anything, make sure it's about the message, okay? All right. So as you look at your scriptures, you'll see in Ephesians chapter 2, this is one of the great verses of scripture, especially of our faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Because what I want to do is I want to talk about faith, hope, and love, but I also want to talk about what holds that together, that cord of three strands together, faith, hope, and love. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace, God's grace, you have been saved through faith. Because we're talking about faith first. Okay, but we need something that'll hold the three cords together. For by grace. Kids, you know what grace is? I bet every adult in this room could tell you what grace is. Grace is God's love for you that you cannot earn. One author defined grace as there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you more, and there's nothing you can do that can cause God to love you less. It's a father's love, a perfect father's, not always my love, unfortunately, I'm human, but it's a perfect father's love for his children. A love that says, I love you no matter what. You have security. Yes, I'm going to discipline you. Yes, I'm going to rebuke you at times. Yes, I'm going to do things that are for your good. But nothing you do can cause me to stop loving you. It's the security a perfect father gives his children. You see, what holds the rope together so it can be wound, so the three cords can become one strong life, is grace. God's grace is what allows your life to come together. God's grace is not only your status with God, that there's nothing you can do that can cause God to love you more, and there's nothing you can do that can cause God to love you less. Kids, when we discipline our children, because, you know, as parents, we love our kids enough to discipline them, and how every parent does that is different, but as long as it's done in love, okay, in love for God's purposes, we teach our children that our job is to raise them in the instruction and the discipline of the Lord, okay? And the Bible says that children are to obey their parents, that they're to show respect to their parents. And so we teach our kids that when they disrespect us, when they disobey us, that it's our job to then discipline them. Because if they become adults who are disobedient or disrespectful, they're not going to be able to be good marital partners. They're not going to be able to be good employees or employers. They're not going to be able to be good people who follow Jesus, because we all need to learn to submit to our God. You know, there's certain things that we do to show God we love him. We listen to him. We obey him. We show him respect. We don't blaspheme God. We don't use his name in vain. And so when our kids do behavior towards us that we know would not be good for them to do towards God, we then lovingly correct them. We instruct them. Okay? God's grace teaches us as parents and teaches you as children that even when you do disobey, even when you do disrespect, it doesn't mean we stop loving you. But you see, grace is not just about the status we have with each other. Grace is about the power of our relationship. Grace is about God coming in to help us become the people he wants us to be. Grace enters the relationship. So grace is not just the beginning of our relationship. It's not just what holds together the three cords that we weave together to make a strong rope. It's also what holds the life together at the end. Because we know that we can't be saved by our works, either for our salvation or for going to heaven. See, God is the power source of our life. So he holds both ends of our life together. So when Don died this morning at 7:15 a.m., because he was a believer in Jesus Christ, he was immediately in the presence of the Lord. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's immediate for a believer in Jesus. The believer does not taste death. Yes, they go through the birth pangs of entering into a new relationship, a new physical relationship with God. But the reality is that believer never knows death because they never know separation from God. Because grace holds your life together. And I have my hands like this close together because I can't put my hands far enough apart to show you how long your life lasts, because it's infinite. Kids, what that means is you will live forever. When you love Jesus, though this body will temporarily fail you, God will never fail you. That's grace. Grace is the belief, that grace is the activity of God in those who believe, who those who put their faith in Jesus. Your life is held together by faith, held together by God's grace. And so then you ask me, great, that's faith. Faith is this gift from God that activates God's grace in my life so that I can live forever. Faith is the gift to believe that God has not only worked in the past, but God will work in the future. And that's where hope comes in. And when I taught about hope, I taught you a lot about hope already a couple weeks ago. I want you to just look at one scripture from Romans 5 to help us understand hope. Because kids, this is going to sound wrong to the parents, but it's very true. While faith is enough, and it's all we need for salvation by God's grace, faith is not all we need to live a Christian life. Otherwise, the Bible would never talk about the need for hope and love. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And we'll talk about why it's the greatest here in a minute. But I just want you to say, kids, it's hard for your mommies and daddies and grandparents to keep living by faith if they lose their hope. Because hope is when you believe that hope is what you hang on to, that what you believe is true is going to happen in the future. Hope is what allows us to persevere through hard times. If you just had faith that God is good and that he's all-powerful and he's going to take you to heaven, that's great. And yes, that is what brings about salvation, God's grace activated through your faith. But if you're going to live by faith, you need hope. If you lose your hope that God can continue to do what he promised to do, then you may be a Christian, but you're not going to demonstrate to the world who Jesus is. I know what it's like to lose hope. And it gets very dark very quickly when you become hopeless. So maybe at school, you know, and something's happening at school, and you don't think tomorrow can be any better than today. Or if you're a young adult and you're trying to get a career started, or you're trying to figure out what next to do with college, or what to do about not being able to find a job, if you don't think tomorrow's going to be any better than today, that's called losing hope. And hope is our life bread. Okay, so the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, this beautiful thing. Hope does not disappoint. Romans 5, verse 5. Listen to this. Hope does not disappoint. It's always worth hoping. Hope is not wishful thinking. I mean, I wish it was snowing right now instead of raining. Because that's why I have my snowman tie on. But that's not hope. That's wishful thinking. I wish we had had a white Christmas instead of dirty remnants of snow. See, there's a difference between what our culture, what our world calls hope, and what real hope is. So we throw around the word hope like we throw around the word grace, like a grace period on a credit card. And we totally miss the depth of God's unconditional love, something we can't earn, something we can't lose. And we do the same thing with hope. Honestly, we do the same thing with faith. If you were here on Christmas Eve, the Sunday before Christmas, I said, we don't have a faith problem. We just put our faith in the wrong things. So we know what these words mean culturally, faith, hope, love, but we undershoot them. We undervalue them. We don't define them the way the Bible does. So that, kids, that's why we have to keep going back to the Bible to help us understand. So hope, let me go back a verse, says this. Not only this, but we also celebrate, exult in our tribulations, knowing that hard times, tribulations means hard times. Hard times brings about perseverance. I know my kids and I, we like to have a good time. We want every day to be a fun day. We want good things happen every day, but that's not real life. You know, we want every day to be Christmas, don't we? We want Christmas to last all year long because we want to receive gifts and give gifts all year long, but that's not real. You know, but we can bring the faith, hope, and love of Christmas into our everyday lives. Okay? So hope comes from us persevering through hardship. You can't develop hope if every day is Christmas. Because hope is birthed through seeing that God answers his prayers when things are tough. How do you gain hope? You gain hope by seeing faith work. How does faith work? By believing. What does the Christian life come down to? Believing. Believe God is who he says he is. Believe Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins. believe that there's only one way to get to God, and that's by asking God to forgive you of your sins and putting your faith in Jesus. Faith means trust. Trust God, and even when you go through hard times, He will not disappoint you. And adults, I may be talking to the kids right now, but I'm talking to you. If you want to live a life that will change the world, have a faith that doesn't quit, and have hope that perseveres. Have a hope that's bigger than your circumstances. Trust that God is bigger than your storm. You know the old saying, don't tell God how big your storm is, tell your storm how big your God is. That's hope in action. That's faith. Faith, hope, and love. And what you'll find is that they're all gifts of grace. That's why grace holds them together. Because for you to have hope, you need God's grace to give you hope. Just like God's grace gave you faith. And just like you'll see, God's grace gives you love. If your life feels like it's short on either of these three, faith, hope, or love, go to the God of grace in your circumstances and ask Him to help you. Because when you try to do it on your own, just like you can't take care of those hard situations at work or at school on your own, you need help. You need God, and you need someone to be a cord of three strands with you. I'll just finish this line here in Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint because, and this will bring us to the last one, why? Why does hope never disappoint? What does Romans 5:5 say? Listen. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within your hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Kids, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive God's power and presence in you through God coming and making His home in you. The way we talk about that is Jesus comes and lives in your heart. Do you have Jesus living in your heart? But do you know actually what happens is God's Holy Spirit comes and makes His home inside of you. That's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's a big word that simply means He lives in you. Dwell, to live in, to make His house, to make you His house. The Bible talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. The house of God is not a building made of man's hands. It's you, flesh and blood. Children, adults, you are the dwelling place of God for the world to see who Jesus is. You are the hope of the nations. And our job in 2020 is to let people see that we're people of faith, hope, and love by showing them the love of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever shall believe, faith, shall not perish but have eternal life, hope. We but are hope in the new heaven, the new earth, what is to come, not what is. We live by faith, not by sight. So even kids, adults, when it's hard, when things don't seem to be going your way, keep hanging on to Jesus. When you don't know where the next bill is going to be paid, or you don't know if you're going to be able to memorize that spelling, those spelling words, pray and ask God to help you. You don't need to do the spelling test alone. Adults, you don't need to pay the bills by yourself. I know our culture teaches us that the men are the providers of the family, but no, God is the only provider for your family, men and women. Whether you're a single parent trying to make it, or you're a woman who's the primary breadwinner of your family, or you're a man who's the primary breadwinner of your family, God is the breadwinner of your family. And what crushes our people is that when they feel the full weight of the responsibility that they have to do it all, that they have to be the rock. Guess what? You don't have to be the rock. Jesus is the rock. And kids, if we can learn that at your age, that you've got a God who wants to be your rock. You've got a God who wants to hold together your life. And your life is to be this strong braided cord of faith, hope, and love. Then you can have this faith that is secure by God's grace. You can have this hope that even when things aren't looking good, that God is for you. He's not against you. God loves you, and he's working in you to bring to fulfillment all of his promises, that all the promises of God are yours. And then that frees you to love with the love that God first gave you. You can love others the way God first loved you. And I want to finish with this. I was talking to some friends this morning about this. They're going through a life circumstance. And I brought them to this scripture. And I'm going to talk to the adults a little bit here, but kids, we're going to end with this. And I want you to hear this because this is important. I talked about this a little bit in one of my last sermons about hope and joy. But you know something about that Boy Scout image I used, where they took three separate ropes and they wound them together, the three cords. You know how the Bible says three cords are better than one? Okay, that they're stronger. Do you know what happens if grace isn't holding those together? What happens if, in the same way that I had to weave those together, what happens if I start unweaving those in my life? What happens? Life starts to feel really out of sorts. From a counseling point of view, we have to stay in rhythm with God. We have to have habits of grace in our life, like Bible reading and prayer times and family worship times for those of you who are raising children, whether you're doing it by yourself or with a partner. It's like, how do we have time where we read the Bible together as a family, where we pray together as a family, where in my own personal life, I'm getting up or I'm staying up or I'm making a time during my day to read my Bible and pray. We call those habits of grace or spiritual disciplines, whatever language works for you. But these are ways where we stay in a positive rhythm of our lives being woven together, faith, hope, and love being woven together, held together by God's grace. But you know, when we stop living out of the rhythm of grace, things seem to fall apart. And I want to read to you something, and some big words will be used here. I'm not going to define them all. Parents, you can talk to your kids. Grandparents, you can talk to your kids about this as you choose. But this is from the fruit of the Spirit. And for those of you who've experienced this, you're going to understand. When you're in a positive rhythm with God, it's easier to feel God, the faith, hope, and love of God working in and through you. But when you fall out of rhythm with God, it becomes almost like a vicious cycle where you feel like your life is being pulled apart. Something is pulling at your hope and trying to pull your hope cord out of your, you know, you're losing hope or you're losing faith or you're not very loving. Anyone here ever struggle with loving their spouse or loving their brother or sister, being a loving person? No, yeah, every hand should be up. We've all struggled at times with being the loving person that we know we can and should be. Sometimes we're just straight up selfish, right, kids? Sometimes I just want what I want, and I want it now, and you're in my way, so therefore I'm going to remove you instead of love you, okay? That's sin. Sin is I want what I want, and I want it now. Kids, anyone struggle with that? I want that Lego, and you have it, so I'm going to come and take it. I want it. I want it now. Okay, love is giving. Oh, my sister wants that Lego, so you go ahead and use it. And then we do that at adult levels. Here it is. We're going to end with this. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The reason I'm bringing the fruit of the Spirit is because they're held together too. See, faith, hope, and love is intertwined to become one cord. So is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a collective whole. It's nine separate things woven together as one. And grace holds them together too because they're gifts from God. The fruit of the Spirit is graced to you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me read this to you. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now to those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And parents, I would encourage you to read the five verses before this, because what this scripture does is it contrasts the life of living according to the weeds of the flesh. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and it gives a long list of things that happen in our lives when we're not living by God's grace. But then the Bible says, when you're living in God's grace, when the Holy Spirit is working in your life, you'll be loving. You'll be joyful. You'll be peaceful, patient, kind, faithful. You'll be self-controlled. All the things you wish your spouse was all the time. Everything you wish you were all the time. Everything you wish your kids were. Kids, everything you wish your parents were. I know I've had days over Christmas break where I was not the ideal father. Far from. In those moments, the Holy Spirit get a hold of me and be like, what's going on? And in moments like that, where you're not being the person you know God wants you to be, how do you find yourself coming back to the cord of three strands? That grace is holding me together. That faith, hope, and love is the life that God calls me to live. In the same way that I'm supposed to live faith, hope, and love towards my son and towards my wife and towards you, I'm supposed to also be held together by the Spirit of God. Not just faith, hope, and love, but also kind. Someone today was telling me they're just being kind to me. And I said, that's who we are. We're supposed to be kind to one another. You know? Because we don't always have kind thoughts. But the fruit of the Spirit is that we would show gentleness and kindness to those we call brothers and sisters. So kids and adults, my hope for you is that you would see your life held together by God's grace, and that you wouldn't just be people of faith, but you'd be people of faith, hope, and love. Because the greatest of these is love. And here's my closing thought. Do you know why love is the greatest? Because in heaven, you won't need faith or hope. In heaven, you're in the presence of the God who is love. And you don't need faith, because faith is what you have when you can't see. When you can't see the evidence of God, you have faith. When you can't see God face to face, you have faith that he's real and that he revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ, and gave us his word. And you don't need hope in heaven, because everything has been fulfilled in the new heaven, new earth. All the promises of God are ours in Christ Jesus. That's our faith and our hope that it will be fulfilled. And right now, we need faith and hope. And we need to live with love. But the greatest of these is love, because one day, kids, we're all going to be in heaven in the greatest family reunion ever. And we don't need faith or hope anymore, because all we got is love. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But wisdom is perfected by love. And so if you want to show people you're people of faith and hope, then the same love that Jesus Christ gave you, go give to them.